The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors, nor of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content. Hey, all you role players, grab your milk and cookies and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community by the community.
Yo, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eschaton Zilo.
And I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda, bringing you episode number 24.
Recorded live on Tuesday, April 24th, for the week of April 27th, 2007.
So did you get patched?
Did I get patched?
Did you get patch 105 downloaded yet?
You know, actually, I haven't.
You haven't? Well, you know, it was out, but it wasn't, but now it is again.
Yes.
So it's all cool.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I've updated it.
So now you're patched.
I'm patched. I'm on the 105 patch.
I'll do that tonight.
Actually, went out and played a little Dissaria the other night.
I also need to download all the hack packs and everything for Bruce's Light Reborn, since we're going to be playing that this Saturday.
Yep. I'm all patched up on that one. I'm ready to roll. A new module has been released from Innoa 4 called B2 on the Borderlands.
And we'll have an update on the NWN podcast and Gallows Bird contest.
We'll be talking about the featured class as we continue our character creation series. The class this week will be the Barbarian.
Yeah. Ooh, Barbarians. They're mean. Sometimes.
Just don't piss them off. You'll be okay. And Trey, you had a chance to catch up with Charles Green, a.k.a. Carlo One, from the Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative for a short interview.
Dude,
and we'll have that coming up later, so keep...
He made me feel really stupid.
I like him already.
Because yeah, that dude knows a lot.
Hey, Trey, we got some email from Halloween Foxy. And she said, hey there, my podcasters. It's me again, the Foxy. Listening to all of your new help stuff, I have a question. As one who lives with D&D for a long time, I have only had one thing which bugged me forever. What races or what category? Is a Chimera an aberration, or is it a magical beast? Are dragons reptilians, or are they magical beasts? I mean, you can specialize in fighting against certain creatures, but what use is it if you don't know why?
So to answer that, we went to Bruce.
That's a very good question. I guess the basic answer is, you look it up in the Monster Manual.
Keep on leveling the Snitty Vixen.
Because the Monster Manual for D&D, for pen and paper D&D, is the source for this, and every single creature in there is listed as being of a certain type. So, for instance, a chimera is, it actually says magical beast next to it. Like, if you looked up Dryad, it would say Fae, which is like a type of the fairy creatures. An Edden would be a giant. Now, something like a lizard folk, though, that is listed as a humanoid, and then in parentheses, aquatic reptilian. So it does seem to be both. It's both reptilian and humanoid. That's basically, you just look it up in the Monster Manual for 3.5 edition D&D. And how they come up with these ideas, I'm sure that, you know, I mean, if you think about like a griffin, which is listed as a beast, they're probably thinking of it as not being magical, whereas a chimera, which is made up of multiple heads and is kind of a mythical magical beast, they list it as a magical beast. Other than that, I really don't know. I mean, why is a chimera not an aberration? No reason other than they just decided that's what the category was.
When I read this, I also come up with a question in my mind. It's like, from the class perspective,
a class or a race may have a favored enemy.
Yes, and like rangers have favored enemies.
Right.
So this affects that.
Okay, so this is how this plays into that favored enemy kind of thing.
Yes. like, for instance, I believe dwarves in pen and paper D&D get a bonus against giants because they are supposedly they train to fight giants. And so you would have to look up if this monster is a type, is an Ettin a giant? Are they trained to fight against giants? Yes, they are, because Ettins, because an Ettin is of type giant. Now, in Neverwinter Nights, it works a little bit differently. It's pretty similar. There's a racial type in Neverwinter Nights. You can't look it up anywhere. You have to, except in the tool set. You'd have to go into the tool set, look up the racial type, and see what's listed there. You can't have two types in Neverwinter Nights, because it's a little drop down. You just select the one racial type. But it'd be pretty similar. There's, you know, there's fays, for instance, and I think there's magical beasts, and there's humans, and elves are different. There's not really a humanoid per se. So it works. It works somewhat similarly, but you could never be in two categories.
Well, thanks a lot, Bruce. I think that clears it up for us.
All right, no problem.
We also got quite a bit of feedback on episode 23, which was kind of exciting to see.
Yes. We had a new poster. I'll read that one
first. Okay, go right ahead.
Boyan P. wrote, "Hey, nice. I think I'll stick around to see what else you guys come up with. As for the module that won the special award," he's referring to, I guess, when we were reading the winners of the...
From the mod contest?
Yep. Module of the year 2006. He said, "As for the module that won the special award to Dance with Rogues, it definitely did not win only for its adult content, although there is a good deal of it." He goes on to say, "I've played some great mods and both parts, I assume both parts of Dances with Rogues, there's a part one and part two, rank in the top 10, although I was disappointed in the ending. Not at the quality of the plot, just how it itself turned out." And then he goes on to say, "I must say it is worth playing if you're in the right age category." So, Boyan, we appreciate those words.
Kaveen also sent a comment saying, "Great podcast. Discussion on the races was informative and interesting. I especially like your guys' humor and banter throughout. They make it enjoyable to listen."
And we also have our regular post from Halloween Foxy. "Meh." She likes that word, M-E-H. "Meh. Not the first to post for once, huffs. But who cares? Great show. Though I have to say I missed the bloopers at the end."
That's because we don't make any bloopers anymore. We're so good.
Made me giggle a lot. Yeah, whatever.
All right, we'll see what we can do about getting some bloopers on there.
We'll have to make some first. And we also got another comment two episodes in a row from Kayla over at the over at Warcry. She actually asked a question of us. She was wondering if we would cover the question of the month from the official forums. They're doing Rasherman this month.
And I tried to do a search over there, and I'm assuming she meant on the official BioWare forums.
Yes, she did.
And I tried to find the question of the month that she was talking about, and I did find a post talking about the reviving the question of the month, but I didn't find anything about Rasherman.
Sorry, I said Rasherman is Rashman.
Rashman. I didn't find anything on that either.
That is actually an area within Neverwinter Nights 2.
Right.
I believe. And it sounds to me like the new expansion pack is focusing on that area, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I could.
We should probably do some if we're going to cover something like that, we should probably do some research.
Well, I was going to ask her, and I emailed her. I think I did email her, if I did, and I meant to, and see if she could point us to that post so that we could find out more about it. Because it sounds like something good to include. If they're going to do a question of the month, we can also do that and speculate on the answer as well. But I couldn't find it.
And knowing our luck, if we had probably finished the OC of Neverwinter Nights 2, we'd probably know what this means.
We might. Yeah. Hey, did you know that yesterday the vault, the IGN vault, spotlighted another Hall of Fame module, or ENO4's new module called B2, Keep on the Borderlands?
Sounds very interesting. Why don't you tell us about
it? Ooh, did you hear that?
That's thunder. Like wind.
It's storming here.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Big storm system moving through, so you may get some thunder in the background. Anyway, NL4 has released a new module.
And if we all of a sudden stop talking, yeah, we probably got so struck by lightning.
Get after healing kits. We'll need them. So NL4's new title is B2, like we mentioned, Keep on the Borderlands, and it's for Neverwinter Nights 2. This module offers approximately 6 hours of classic dungeon crawling with the opportunity to roleplay in some instances. You will also have the chance to adventure with three companions while you investigate the Caves of Chaos. NO4 has made good use of Neverwinter Nights 2 custom content, such as lands, placeable groups, and Cleanatus' prefabs. Got to be careful on that one. And has a world map system as well as other features. Known for his outstanding modules such as the Hytham series, UK5 Eye of the Serpent, and C1 Hidden Shrine, and C1 Hidden Shrine of Tamoshan, B2 Keep on the Borderlands is sure to be an excellent and fun evening's romp for a solo or small MP group. Here's an excerpt. Keep on the Borderlands is a conversion of paper and pencil module written by Gary Gygax, first published by TSR in 1979. The paper and pencil module, The Keep on the Borderlands, was ranked the 7th greatest Dungeon and Dragons adventure of all time by Dungeons Magazine in 2004 on the 30th anniversary of the Dungeons Dragons game. Players arrive at the Keep on the Borderlands, where they base themselves before investigating the Caves of Chaos, a series of nearby caverns full of humanoid tribes poised to destroy the keep. It typifies the dungeon crawls associated with the beginning D&D players while permitting some limited outdoor adventures. The module is primarily a hack and slash adventure, although I have tried to add opportunities for role-playing, and there are some tricks and traps. It is intended for new characters, it should work for multiplayer, but I did not have the opportunity to run it as a multiplayer test.
I found a sticky out on the Bioware forums. It was posted by Rob McGinnis, our favorite. It says, warning, and it yells, warning. Clear out your override directory before patching. A lot of the bugs that are coming out in the patch are because of files people have placed in their override folders. When we modify the structure of 2DA files, this will cause problems with any 2DA files you have overridden. It won't stop a patch from installing or cause problems when patching. So please, clear out your override folder. Or make a copy of it and clear the original out before and after you apply a patch. When I read this, I was thinking actually of Michelle, a.k.a. Lisa. I remember her saying that all of a sudden after she patched, I think it was 104, right after she patched, she couldn't play anymore. Her NW2 was all screwed up, and I bet this was it. It had something to do with it. She ended up having to clean the whole thing off the machine and reinstalling and
all
kinds of stuff.
Well, hey, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that we're going to be playing a mod this weekend with Bruce Nielsen. He's going to DM us for one of his modules, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought we would practice up for our contest.
Well, we need to practice, that's for sure. The site we've been using to do that has been Neverwinter Connections. I think that's the first time you or I have actually used that website to actually hook up for an event. And other than some slowness every once in a while, that seems to come and go. It doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. It might, you know, be really slow on responding for a little while, and then for a couple hours, it'll just respond real fast. It's been a really cool site. It's been kind of fun.
It's excellent. You know, Bruce set up a game for us for this weekend, and then he sent an invitation. Oh, and by the way, he's going to open it up for everybody. So if anybody wants to join,
well, there's still limited slots.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
I think what?
Six, I think.
Six? Yeah, six. But anyway, what I thought was cool is it creates a page, and then you go there and you sign up, and then it shows that you've signed up, you know, once you've created your character that matches his criteria. And then it creates like a little forum right there where everybody can kind of discuss the game before it starts, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. I know we've covered this before, but now that we've had a chance to actually go use it a couple of days, it's been really cool. I think it's a well-put-together functionality. So if you're looking to catch a pickup game or you'd like to have a DM-hosted game, give neverwinterconnections.com a look-see, because it's got a lot of good functionality to create characters, keep them on file, and create characters for games, host games, search for games.
And it's not just Neverwinter Nights 1. It's also you can create them for both.
Right.
And I think it would be a good idea if we use NWC for the contests also.
Right.
Once we get all of our thousands of entries in and have to figure out who the winners are.
Well, that's a great segue, because that's exactly what I was going to recommend we do, that we will be using Neverwinter Connections to set up the date and time for our Gallowsburg Neverwinter Nights podcast joint gaming event.
Yeah, I PM'd Kaveen over on NWC, Neverwinter Connections, and he actually replied to me, and I was trying to open it, but it's kind of slow. Oh, yeah, Kaveen said, sure, we can do that, and it might be helpful in coordinating the time.
Cool. So it's
excellent.
Just to remind everybody that Neverwinter Nights Podcast has teamed up with Gallowsburg to bring you a Neverwinter Nights Podcast exclusive DM-led event. The contest, we gave out 4 questions over several episodes, and it's now time for everyone to send in their answers. We're waiting on those to come in, and we'll be picking those before the next episode. So next episode 25, you'll hear who the winners were. So if you haven't sent in your answers and your paragraph about your character, please don't forget to do that. Send it to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. Again, the winners will be announced on episode 25, and we will then start scheduling up through Neverwinter Connections when we're going to play. So you want to get those in here quickly so you can get your name in the drawing. Okay, in our character creation series, we have actually gone through the intro to the third edition rules. We've gone over abilities, hit points, saving throws, skills, and races. Now we're going to go through classes, and Barbarian, starting alphabetically, is the first class. So, Neverwinter Nights 1, Barbarians are brave, even reckless, and their warrior skills make them well-suited to adventure. Instead of training and discipline, barbarians have a powerful rage that makes stronger, tougher, and better able to withstand attacks. They only have the energy for a few such displays per day, but it is usually sufficient. Consistent exposure to danger has also given barbarians a sort of sixth sense, the preternatural ability to sense danger and dodge attacks, and their running stamina is legendary. With their toughness and fighting ability, they are the shock troops of the D&D world. People picture the typical barbarian as the huge Viking type from somewhere to the north, keeping in mind that this does not have to be the only example of a barbarian. They have the stunning ability to rage into combat and makes them stronger and tougher, becoming a tornado of destruction. What other examples of characters would have this fighting ability? A broom brawler? A crazy street lunatic, a daring rich duelist bent on revenge. Consider different possibilities for the barbarian. While they are detailed in the player's handbook as the typical example of wandering Norseman type, you don't have to be that when you're creating your character.
You don't have to be a raging lunatic.
No, you don't have to be that Viking Norse type barbarian.
Okay, sorry.
The point here is that lunatics can come in many colors. What makes the best barbarian? You'll notice that barbarians have the most hit points in the game, a 12-sided dice compared to all other fighter types with a 10-sided dice or even an 8-sided. That makes them the class that will most likely be thrown in front of whatever is coming to soak up damage and to protect the weaker members of the group. You know,
that would be a tank.
A tank, yeah. The barbarian tends to concentrate on being fast and furious as opposed to bulky and heavily armored. This lack of armor may be made up for in hit points, especially if you raise your con for hit point bonuses. Consider raising your dexterity to make up for light or medium armor. This again depends on what sort of character you are building. If you are making a street brawler, you might decide to raise constitution to give him the ability to shake off massive amounts of damage with a grunt. On the other hand, the rich duelist might want high dexterity to complement the image from the lightning-fast reflex saves from damage and prevents the commoner from ruining his expensive clothes. Strength is a very important ability for the barbarian as it relates to combat, but again, it depends on what sort of character you want to play.
You mean if he scares a commoner so much they gotta get a new pair of pants?
No. Here's the breakdown of what the barbarian class benefits are. Alignment restrictions, any non-lawful. His hit dice is a 12-sided dice. He has proficiencies in all simple and martial weapons, light armor, medium armor, and shields. Skill points are times 4 at the first level. I think there's 4, you get 4 extra skill points at the first level. And there's a 4 plus intelligence modifier.
That's the same with Neverwinter Nights 2, okay. By the way.
Barbarians are unable to progress in levels if their alignment ever becomes lawful. Skills are another way of defining and individualizing and distinguishing your character from other barbarians. Barbarians have the following skills that are within their class. That means when you want to raise a rank in one of these skills, you only spend one skill point. If you wish to take a skill that is not on the list, you must spend 2 skill points. Some skills, such as use magic device, are not available at all to the barbarian, and skill points cannot be spent on it. The barbarian has meant to fight, and so points spent on parry and discipline would be a wise idea. Their class skill lists are discipline, heal, listen, lore, parry, and taunt. Now, discipline is a Neverwinter Nights skill. It's not part of the D&D game experience, so you won't find that in anywhere other than Aurora Engine technology. Lore can be considered a subset of the Dungeons and Dragons knowledge skill. Parry is a Neverwinter Nights skill. It's not a part of the D&D rule set either. And that makes up the Neverwinter Nights Barbarian.
The Neverwinter Nights 2 Barbarian comes from the frozen wastes of the north and the hellish jungles of the south. Brave, even reckless warriors. Civilized people call them barbarians or berserkers and suspect them of mayhem, impiety, and atrocities. These barbarians, however, have proven their mettle and value to their allies. To enemies who underestimate them, they have proved their cunning, resourcefulness, persistence, and mercilessness. The barbarian is an excellent warrior. A barbarian can enter a berserk rage in which he becomes stronger and tougher, better able to defeat his foes and withstand their attacks. These rages leave him winded, and he has the energy for only a few such spectacular displays per day. But those are usually sufficient. He is at home in the wild, and he runs at great speed. In Neverwinter Nights 2, the barbarian has the following class features. Alignment restrictions, any non-lawful. Barbarians are wild at heart. Their hit die is a d12. Their base attack bonus is high. They have high saves of fortitude. They have weapon proficiencies in simple and martial weapons. Armor proficiencies in light armor, medium armor, and shields, except tower shields. Their skill points are a 4 plus int modifier times 4 at the first level, and then 4 plus int modifier. Their class skills are craft armor, craft trap, craft weapon, intimidate, listen, parry, survival, and taunt.
Well, they have more than everyone has one.
A barbarian can fly into a screaming blood frenzy a certain number of times per day. In a rage, a barbarian gains phenomenal strength and durability, but becomes reckless and less able to defend himself. He temporarily gains a +4 bonus to strength, a +4 bonus to constitution, and a +2 morale bonus on will saves. But he takes a -2 penalty to his armor class. Rage lasts for 3+ constitution bonus, including bonus from rage rounds. After rage expires, the barbarian is tired and suffers a -2 strength, -2 dexterity, and a -10% movement penalty for 5 rounds.
So all that power comes with a price.
Yes, it does. The barbarian also has fast movement. A barbarian has a 10% bonus to his movement rate. He or she also has an uncanny dodge. At second level, a barbarian gains the ability to react to danger before his senses would normally allow him to do so. So I would assume if an arrow's coming at him, he can move out of the way even though he doesn't know it's coming.
Yeah, he'd feel it instead of having to see it.
He retains his dexterity bonus to AC even if he is caught flat-footed or struck by an invisible attacker. However, he still loses his dexterity bonus to AC if immobilized. So even though he has uncanny dodge, he can still be immobilized, sounds like. Barbarians also have a trap sense. Starting at the third level, a barbarian has an intuitive sense that alerts him to danger from traps, giving him a +1 bonus on reflex saves made to avoid traps, and a +1 dodge bonus to AC against attacks made by traps. These bonuses rise by +1 every 3 barbarian levels thereafter, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. A barbarian also has damage reduction. At the 7th level, a barbarian gains the ability to shrug off some amount of injury from each blow or attack. Subtract 1 from the damage the barbarian takes each time he is dealt damage from a weapon or a natural attack. At 10th level, and every 3rd barbarian level afterwards, this damage reduction rises by 1 point. At the 11th level, our barbarian has greater rage. Our barbarian's bonus to strength and constitution during his rage each increase to +6. Wow. And his morale bonus on will saves increases to +3. The penalty to AC remains at -2. They also have indomitable will. While in a rage, a barbarian of 14th level or higher gains a +4 bonus on will saves to resist mind-affecting spells.
Sounds like they're tough.
This bonus stacks with all other modifiers, including the morale bonus on will saves he also receives during his rage. Man, I bet you, well, you get a barbarian up there in the higher levels, and they're, whew, look out. They also have tireless rage. At the 17th level, he no longer gets fatigued from using rage.
He
can ignore the penalties to strength, dexterity, and improvement. I'm sorry, and movement. So when you reach the 17th level, that rage is maxed out. At the 20th level, At the 20th level, I guess I contradicted what I just said there, huh? He gets mighty rage just when you thought it couldn't get any better. A barbarian's bonuses to strength and constitution during his rage each increase to +8, and his morale bonus on will saves increases to +4. His penalty AC remains at -2, however. So that's a Neverwinter Nights 2 barbarian. Sounds pretty... pretty impressive.
And either one, Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter Nights 2, it definitely sounds like if you're wanting to build
a
tank.
Hey, all you dungeon masters and everybody who wants to be a dungeon master, we have an exclusive interview this week with Charles Green, a.k.a. Carlo One. He is one of the leaders of the Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative Guild. He's also one of the best dungeon masters in the community. He's also a mod maker and makes mods specific to role-playing with the dungeon master. He is in the Hall of Fame on the vault for his DM 101 mod. So without further ado, I introduce Carlo One.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the DM there, by the way? Okay, well, thanks, Trey.
I'm Carlo, a.k.a. Charles. And the DMFI, or DM Friendly Initiative, has actually been around for quite a long time. It was founded back in August of 2002. We still have some of the original members around as guild officers. To really take a look at the original Neverwinter Nights and see what could be done with the DM client. There was a lot of talk and speculation about all the different things you could do in-game, how that would affect multiplayer experience, and the original founders really wanted to leverage that as much as possible. And I'm just thankful to have been around the DMFI for quite some time myself now. I took over as guild coordinator back in November 2004. I mean, it doesn't seem quite that long ago, but there it is.
Well, how long ago was the original started up?
That was August 2002, so that was just after the release of the original Neverwinter Nights. And a lot of, you know, really foundational work was done, you know, before I took over the reins. I mean, they got out the Wands and Widgets package, which became standard for all Neverwinter Nights DMs, just to really give them the absolute power over the client that scripting could give them.
Okay. Well, that kind of goes into the next question. The DMFI is one of the oldest NWN guilds in the community. Mm-hmm. Do you know how it started?
Yes. Basically, Razorwise, who was the original founder, Arwen Silverstar, and a couple other folks, including Hansu and Demetrius, who were the head scripters, and Guild Officer Vendelin, a.k.a. Jason Robinson, and some other of the leading lights of the community at that time, all decided that they really needed to found a guild to give some sort of direction to DMing and DM tools. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying before, it was kind of a new frontier. Nobody really knew what they could do with it. If you remember playing some game like Vampire the Masquerade, they had some sort of similar thing out there where you could get in and really play live with other people. But Neverwinter Nights was the first time that this could be done in a real D&D setting with that kind of power.
Wow. So Neverwinter Nights was kind of laying the groundwork for something that no one had ever seen before.
Yeah, I mean, it was a groundbreaking multiplayer game. I mean, we're all familiar with the MMORPGs now.
Right.
But it essentially gave you the power to be, you know, one of, you know, the game rulers, you know, within the context of a personal computer server with you and 3 to 6 friends. So, I mean, there's a big difference between that and the kind of scale the other servers need.
I tell you, every week that goes by that I learn more and more about this game and the community, it just fascinates me. That's really cool. So what is the main focus of the guild?
I mean, the bottom line is we're devoted, as it kind of says in our mission statement, to supporting DM-led gaming in Neverwinter Nights and also in NWN2. I'll talk a bit about that later. But we do that several ways. First, obviously, and what we're probably best known for are the DM tools, the original Wands and Widgets package for Neverwinter Nights and the DM tools for Neverwinter Nights 2. If you look on Neverwinter Vault, for example, the DMFI tools package is at the top of the scripts list. So people obviously like that. We also do DM training, the DMFI 101 module, which you all talked about back in podcast 18. Mm-hmm. That came out a couple of years ago now. It's got close to 9,000 downloads, part of the Hall of Fame, but it's the only DM training module out there. It's self-teach, so you can just download it and go at it without having anybody around, but it also tries to help you get over the hump and DM your own game by giving you some pointers, other resource links, that sort of thing.
And you created that mod, right? Correct?
Yeah, I did. It was actually based off of an old Neverwinter Connections live DM seminar, which is a great idea. That's how I got my start in DMing. I mean, basically it was 30 minutes of sitting down with, you know, a couple experienced DMs, maybe 5 to 10 other players. They'll run you through how to use the basic controls and then off you go. DMFI 101 took that kind of a step further and let you do it at your own pace, you know, and also went a lot further into the controls and also the DMFI wands and widgets because there are a lot of powerful tools there. It's still just an introduction, but it really can get you started, and I think anyone who does that can then really go out and DM their friends in a game if they want to.
Wow. Sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Finally, I just want to get in a plug for the other thing, which I haven't done in a while with the guild, but we're going to be doing, you know, again soon as more multiplayer modules roll in, is certify modules. It's an interesting process. What we do basically is look at a module and someone submits it to us, or we'll just happen across it ourselves and think it might be a good candidate. See if it can be run out of the box using the DM docs included and whatever other tools are needed. And basically just go run a game of it and then see how it works. And if it's, you know, mostly bug free and the docs are good, you know, we'll sign it up.
Cool. And that's usually good for a mod if it has that certification, right?
It is. I mean, like any certification, this is an optional thing. I mean, we're not trying to twist anybody's arm here. But what it does is it lets the community of DMs out there know that, yeah, this meets standards. You're not going to run across any big bugs. That's a major one, because if you're DMing a module and there's a game-breaking bug in the middle, I mean, you just wasted all of your time and your player's time. So we kind of guarantee that doesn't happen. And the DM docs are really important, too. I mean, because it can be just as bad if you're lost in the middle of the plot, not knowing what's going on.
So when your DMFI 101 mod was inducted into the Hall of Fame, how did that feel when that happened?
I mean, that was a great feeling. It really showed that the community benefited from it, which was the whole point of it. I mean, this wasn't something that I wanted to just do to show off my module building skills, which are very modest, trust me, but really something that I wanted the community to be able to use. It filled a real gap there because the Neverwinter Connection seminars had stopped going. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to put out something that, you know, proved that the DMFI was supporting the DM community, especially new DMs, because it's really tough, and you may have experienced this yourself, just to go into the DM client and start fooling around. I mean, it's pretty overwhelming. Oh, yeah. So I was very happy to give that back to the community.
I've played around with it a little bit, and I must say I was a little bit overwhelmed because I'd never done anything like that. So I think it takes some practice, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know you have lots of resources available to Dungeon Masters out there on your website. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those?
Sure. I'd love to.
How they benefit us?
Yeah, the website's actually very well organized. It's done by Jason Robinson, one of our guild officers. He wrote one of the early multiplayer DMFI modules, Vethboro Dragon, which has been a classic on Neverwinter Connections for years because it's a great starter module. But anyway, he's organized things so that with just a couple clicks you can get to different listings of all the tools that we have, both Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2. You can look at all of the articles that we've done. We've done articles on how to do DM documentation, how to DM in persistent worlds, which I think is something that's, you know, going to be popular for a long time, how to create and manage Neverwinter Nights campaign as a DM, both from the building side and just from managing the in-game aspects, and some other things out there, too. So we really wanted that website to be a one-stop shop for both all new DMs and DMs who are experienced, but they were looking to kind of take it to the next level as well.
You haven't gotten Bruce to write anything for you, I see.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know he does a lot of writing for, I went blank on the...
The Escapist.
Escapist, yes.
Some very good writing for that. Yeah, Bruce, when he started up his website, I offered to let him link all the DMFI articles to it. So he's done that, and he's got that on his website and blog.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's kind of a nice cross-fertilization there. He's also contributed some very good ideas along the way to the DMFI articles. What we did with the last batch of them, with the ones on persistent worlds and campaigns and a couple other things, was solicit input from the community. You know, this wasn't just me or anybody else sitting down writing it. You know, we got, you know, usually several pages of input from some pretty experienced DMs on, you know, what they thought about the issues, you know, what was good, what was bad, you know, typical things you run across. I learned a lot just from reading those. So, I mean, I learned a lot in writing and compiling the articles myself.
Right. I noticed you have a DMFI module list out here. Is that, are these modules that have been certified?
Yep,
is that what
that's
that is?
Right.
Okay.
Yep, there's a full list on Neverwinter Vault with descriptions and, you know, little graphics and that sort of thing. So you can look at it on the vault or you can look at it on the website.
Wow, there's a lot out here.
Yeah, and it ranges from modules that may take just 2 hours to complete, and then you've got whole campaigns out there, too. So there's a wide variety of stuff.
I like the way it tells you the level range, number of players. I guess that's the number of players recommended for a DM session, things like that.
Yeah, that's why the website's actually useful, even if you do look at the Neverwinter Vault entry. The website tries to organize things so, you know, at a glance, DMs can kind of see what resource will fit their particular need.
And then there's a page on wand and widget packages.
That's right. Yep. The latest version of that is actually version 1.08 alpha. So the one on the website, the list there, that supports all the legacy packages too. So if somebody doesn't have, you know, all the expansions for Neverwinter Nights, for example, it'll tell you where to go for those.
Right. So are there any current projects that you're working on for DMFI?
Yeah, a couple different ones. The main one, of course, is the NWN2 tool set. That's being headed up by Demetrius and the design team. I mean, they've done a great job already. Version 1.4 is out. It's on the vault, both for player and DM tools. And there are a lot of people out there already using it, both persistent worlds and private projects. And it really tries to replicate what we did for the original Neverwinter Nights with all of the different tools for players and DMs. And again, take it to the next level. You know, clean up the code, increase the functionality, you know, give you basically everything that you could possibly need for multiplayer. The other thing we're also looking to do is once more multiplayer modules in Neverwinter Nights 2 come online, we'll look at certifying those, of course. And people are still making modules for the original Neverwinter Nights. I know there's one that's going to be coming out soon by Quillmaster, who's one of our members and also had a previous module out there. So it's Muddles and Milton.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that last night when I was looking around on the vault.
Yeah, and that's kind of an example, and you know, we'll wait to see, you know, what it's like when it's submitted. Already looks very good, but it'll give you a sound stage where DMs can go in and do all sorts of things, have a guide, but it's not fully scripted, so you can just kind of be creative with it. But yeah, we always welcome new submissions, and it's interesting to see how the original Neverwinter Nights multiplayer community is still pretty active while people are waiting for the Neverwinter Nights 2 multiplayer community to ramp up with the new features and patches and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that one was so new that he's just getting the website up, because I clicked on the link to take you to the website, and it wasn't up yet.
Yeah, no, he says he's like 98% done,
yeah,
so
yeah,
that'll be good.
I noticed that your forums are actually out on the BioWare site. I guess there is a, so what is your affiliation with BioWare? Are you just using the guild facilities that they have out there?
We don't have an official link to BioWare. BioWare has been very good to us in the past, though. If you ever search on the site, you'll be able to see that there are several BioWare official interviews that were done for when they did the Neverwinter Weeks. You know, back then, Neverwinter Wednesdays, that sort of thing. So there's an interview with me and a couple of the other DMFI folks out there at different times. So that was nice exposure for the DMFI and good recognition by BioWare that they did that. Other than that, it's really just using the BioWare site as a convenient central meeting place for the guild.
Right, because anybody could go out here and set up a guild and a registry. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's funny.
You just sign up for it and then they set you up.
Yeah, I think you have to check. I think there are over 15,000 guilds ever created. We were number 20, so that's kind of a nice thing.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
See you out there.
It looks like you have 473 members.
That's right.
And they give you your own little forum section right there. That's pretty cool.
Right. Like, for example, if you're in public, you can see the general discussion forum and the submissions forum. General discussion is, you know, just that, welcome to anybody to comment on any aspect of what the guild's doing or DMing, that sort of thing. Submissions is where the module authors go ahead and post a link to their modules and make any comments, and that's where we talk about assigning those to the review team.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then I guess if you sign up, you can get to more discussions within the guild?
Yeah. Basically, we have private forums for both the design team and the review team.
Okay.
That way you can have basically project-type discussions without cluttering up the general discussion board. So basically anyone who has a relative amount of experience and is willing to put in the work, we, you know, take them on board for those.
Excellent, excellent. Are you looking for any help with the site or with the guild? You know, if somebody is interested, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay. I mean, the DMFI is kind of interesting because we're a community service guild. I mean, we're very open, very much oriented to, you know, like the title implies, serving what the community wants. So we always appreciate anybody just stopping by and offering their input on what we're doing or any aspect of DMing in Neverwinter Nights. All you need to do is submit a guild join request. They're all approved. And if someone has scripting talent and they want to apply that and help out with the tools, you know, they can just PM myself. That's the easiest way to do it. I'm Carlo1 on BioWare. And same thing, if people want to review modules and take a look at that and get more involved with that, you know, they can do that as well. There are some sticky threads in the guild forums that give some more details on those too.
Excellent, excellent. So what do you have planned for the future of the DMFI guild?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I think Neverwinter Nights 2 has a pretty long future ahead of it. I mean, you saw that they just announced today the new expansion for it. So that implies that Atari and Obsidian are going to be supporting Neverwinter Nights 2 as a franchise for quite some time to come. And that's good news, because there's really nothing out there like the original Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter Nights 2 for multiplayer gaming, especially on the kind of small scale you can do with just a few friends, you know, or meeting up with people over the internet for the first time, going through, you know, like a real classic adventure. So we think DM-led gaming, which I happen to think is probably the best experience you can get because everybody's live, has a great future with Neverwinter Nights franchise. And we plan to have the DMFI continue building the tools, certifying modules, providing training, and, you know, just in general helping out with, you know, DMing resources for quite some time.
Well, Charles, I really appreciate you taking the time to put some time aside to come and talk with me tonight.
So that concludes our discussion on races and subraces. Be sure and join us next week when we'll dive into classes. We'll be taking a class at a time and going through each one of them, talking about their stats and their feats, and a little bit about how to play a good character with that class. So thanks for listening, and if you have questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. And don't forget to send in your answers to the DM-led event contest. Or you can post your comments, not your answer to the question, but you can post comments on our forum located on our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper mat by clicking the Frapper logo. If you're a member of the mod team and would like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website. So until next week, get in game,
level up.